Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. It was fun to be along with you on a brand new week because there's so much to get into, be it college football or the NFL. We also can't forget about Major League Baseball because we are down to the final, 15, 16 days of the regular season. The playoffs are upon us. We're down to just a few games left, divisional races. They're settled, I think, for the most part in the NL outside for the NL East. And when you go to the American League, that's where some of the best baseball has been played all season long. We're going to talk about that, playoff storylines, and more. Joining us over the phone right now, we have a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. Steve, always great to get you on, especially when we hit middle of September and we start talking playoff baseball. It's a beautiful time.
It is a beautiful time, and before we even get to the baseball thing, really quick, I since you mentioned college football, I want to congratulate Notre Dame on that impressive first win of the year.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, sometimes you got to get you got to just break through, right? Maybe they've broken through. I don't know. I'm still waiting for USC to have a win against a relevant opponent, but we can talk about that a little bit later.
I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to take a shot back, so that's why I threw it out there for you. But, you know, it's good to get that first one under your belt. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, Saturday, for the first time in a while, Saturday didn't suck. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's talk Major League Baseball. Something else that doesn't suck right now. It's the National League East. And this has become really such a compelling race. We have the New York Mets, who were really the offseason darlings, and rightfully so. After acquiring Max Scherzer, they go all in. They took their time with Jacob deGrom. That looks like it's paying dividends. Pete Alonso has been fantastic. Francisco Lindor finally looks the part. I mean, this was supposed to be the Mets season. Now, you're trying to fend off the World Series champion Atlanta Braves, who up until about 90 days ago, I think the majority of the media had kind of written off, calling the NL kind of a two-pony race between the Dodgers and the Mets. I can't get enough of this race down the stretch, Steve. This is fascinating baseball.
No, it has been impressive. And if you and you forget about the team, and it was a team that I was kind of, I think both you and I, we're kind of sitting there wondering about Philadelphia, and you just wonder where Philadelphia would be had they not lost the first, 2 months of the season?
Yeah.
A lousy manager and a team that was going nowhere. Because in the last, you know, aside from this last weekend and a four-game losing streak, this is a team that until like 2 or 3 weeks ago was still a factor as well. It's been an incredible race, though. And if you need one guy, you know, to really look at as far as the Braves are concerned, Spencer Strider. I mean, what an incredible season he's put together. That's an organization, when you go back, you look at all the great pitchers in Atlanta history, and Spencer Strider is clearly on his way, I think, possibly to being that guy if he continues to do what he's doing right now for Atlanta so far this year.
You know, I think most World Series champions have this in common. They have a surprise story. Like last year, let's go back and look at the Atlanta Braves last year. Without Rosario, without Jock Peterson, without Soler, they don't win a World Series. And these are three guys that they acquired at the right time. They are three guys that we really weren't talking about. I mean, when Ronald Acuna goes down last year, I wrote the Braves off. I thought they were finished. They made the right moves. They had the right players step up at the right time. And I think it's similar going into this season. Strider, you're 100% correct, but if we also look on the offensive side in 33 games, Vaughn Grissom has been fantastic. This just seems to be the story of the Atlanta Braves. They have names that we weren't talking about in March and April stepping up in September, and that is so key when you're playing competitive baseball.
And, you know, you mentioned the Mets and, you know, all the work that they've done this year. You know, and then you look at the race right now between them and the Braves and Robbie Grossman, guys who you never really thought were going to be, you know, these big names. You know, and think about this: this is the team that made the trade, that made the deal. You know, with the first baseman. You know, we get Matt. You know, the Dodgers. I shouldn't say we. You know, but we, the Dodgers, get. You know, we get Freddie Freeman. They get the guy from the A's, who everyone thought was going to be fantastic. His year's been okay, but not fantastic by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know. It's been a fun race to watch, and like you said, there's always there's always that one guy who comes along and does great things. And I mean, for me, Spencer Strider, who didn't allow a hit until what, the fifth or sixth inning of that game yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, what an amazing story he's been all year.
Yeah, and I think the Dodgers have that guy offensively. Like, if we're going to just jump around and talk about surprises, guys that have just become key instruments to their team's success.
Trace Thompson.
Yep, look no further than Trace Thompson. This kid has been so, so good in 63 games for the Dodgers. They acquire him, and you think, okay, this is a depth move, some injury problems middle of the season, but Trace Thompson has really outplayed Chris Taylor. And that goes a long way, because in the offseason, the Dodgers made a point to bring back Chris Taylor, who was key in getting to where they got in the postseason last year. But if I have to compare the two, Trace Thompson has outplayed Taylor, and it hasn't even been close.
Correct. No, I agree completely. And Thompson to me reminds me of when the Dodgers went out and got A.J. Pollock, and then they were, and before that there was Andy Van Slyke, who had that one incredible month in like August and September, when it was like 4 years ago. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and he had that phenomenal little stretch of run there. But Thompson has been, you know, a lightning rod, and it's been great to watch that. But yeah, it's always that, there's always that one player that puts a team into that next level. And for the Braves, clearly, it's been Spencer Strider. I mean, he came in with expectations, but he's far exceeded those expectations for Atlanta.
Oh, hands down. Hands down. Again, our guest right now, Steve Bornstein, as we talk Major League Baseball, getting down to the final 2.5 weeks. Steve, again, the National League, for the most part, it is wrapped up division-wise. We know the Dodgers and the Cardinals have their Division One. That NL East is definitely going to be fun to watch down the stretch. I think it's the most compelling storyline. If you look past the American League Central, in fact, this is more to me about three teams. Someone's going to accidentally win this division. And I think at this point, we can kind of count the Twins out. It's down between the Guardians and the White Sox. And I'm even going to go as far as just counting out the White Sox at this point in time, although they continue to win in spite of Tony La Russa not being in the dugout, right? Like, they don't want La Russa around. This is obvious. This is probably the next head-scratching, head-shaking division based on the fact that six games separate first to third, and the only way you're getting into the playoffs in this division is if you win the Central. It's that simple.
And if you are management of the Chicago White Sox, if you are anybody within the Chicago White Sox front office, why didn't you make this move with La Russa like 3 months ago? Why didn't you just part ways with him when he was intentionally walking batters with bases loaded, or he was intentionally walking batters with a 2-1 count on them? Like, I'm sorry, but as great a manager as Tony La Russa was back when I was a teenager, those days are gone. And I mean, if it hadn't have been for, you know, the Cleveland Guardians having, you know, a moderately good season in June and July and August, the White Sox would be in first place right now, because they were clearly just badly run on the field for so long this year. And it's been amazing to see that instant turnaround of these teams when they parted ways with a manager and then brought in someone new. Forget the Angels for a second, but the Angels made a little bit of a run after they lost Joe Maddon. The White Sox are clearly making a run right now. We mentioned what happened with Philadelphia, you know, when they parted ways. I mean, it's kind of been a weird story, but yeah, to get to the White Sox, like, they should be six games in front. I mean, if not for the stupidity of Tony La Russa from time to time, this is a team that I thought should have run away with this division.
No, I agree. In fact, this is a huge disappointment. The White Sox, over the last 2 years, this has been the team that was a sexy pick in the media. Right, I mean, of course, we're talking Yankees. Of course, we've been talking Astros. But it almost seemed like the White Sox were that sneaky team that everyone was predicting to kind of get in, cause some havoc for the two heavy hitters in the American League. Maybe they were becoming the new Tampa Bay Rays, a team that utilizes their homegrown talent in a way that they become lovable nationwide for fringe fans. That's not the case. This team has played really bad baseball when Tony La Russa was in the dugout. I think it's really that simple.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. And I mean, the fact that the White Sox are there right now, you know, 3.5 games back of the Guardians going into the final weeks of the season, 2.5 games up on the Twins right now. I mean, it's based on the talent on the field. It's not based on the guy that was sitting at the end of the dugout. It's not. This is based on this team should have been so much further ahead right now. And you know, but give Cleveland credit for, you know, sticking it out as long as they have this year. But that's just a dreadfully bad division. And you know, like you mentioned earlier, you mentioned the Yankees, and you know, I look at the Yankees as, you know, again, this was the Aaron Judge MVP discussion, Shohei Ohtani MVP discussion. Clearly, it's Aaron Judge this year, and I get that Ohtani's having a better year as far as pitching his performance, as far as his pitching performance as opposed to last year. But Aaron Judge has been carrying the weight of the entire Yankee organization on his shoulders now for essentially the last 30 days. This has not been the dominant team that we saw back in late July, early August, when they were running over teams. You know, Judge has done all the dirty work here. The pitching has been mediocre at best from time to time for the Yankees. You know, the Blue Jays are still in there. The Rays are still in the race for, you know, if nothing else, at least a wild card. You know, even the run that Baltimore made earlier, you know, a couple months ago, was impressive. So I don't look at the Yankees like the juggernaut that we saw from them earlier in the season. It is the Astros. I think right now, as we're sitting here talking, as much as it pains me to say it with 17 games left to go in the regular season, to me, the team that's coming out of the American League is by far the Houston Astros.
Oh, I agree. I think that they've been the cream of the crop in the American League pretty much the entire season. Steve, you did bring up the Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani MVP debate. I agree with you 100%. I discussed this in length last week. To me, this is a no-brainer. It goes to Aaron Judge. What is more compelling to you down the stretch? Is it Aaron Judge catching Roger Maris, or is it Albert Pujols getting to 700? What's the better storyline, the more intriguing storyline?
Well, it's funny because both of them have to do with the subject that nobody wants to talk about in baseball, and that's the steroid issue, right? They both have to do with Barry Bonds. They both have to do with Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, the single season number. Whose do we recognize? And then it goes to the Albert Pujols discussion. Well, he just passes, you know, he passes A-Rod. We have his checkered past. And then you've got, you know, Barry Bonds sitting out there, you know, in the ether. So you've got, it's a compelling argument to me. I'm more, I guess because I'm old school, I want to see Albert Pujols' 700th home run. I want to see it. I want to see it happen live. I'm excited for it because Judge is going to be around for a while. Whether he's a Yankee or wherever else he goes next season or the season thereafter, I'm going to have a lot of opportunities to see him play. This is going to be our last chance to watch Albert Pujols because more than likely he's going to retire. He said it before. I kind of believe him. So I want to see him get that. So for me, in these last 3 weeks of the regular season, that to me is the more compelling story.
No, I agree. For every reason that you just stated. I'm not saying that Aaron Judge goes on this tear again. I mean, hitting 60 home runs in a season, it's pretty damn hard to do, okay? So I don't know that Aaron Judge ever does this again, but he's going to have the opportunity to do it again. Very rarely have we seen a guy, at least in our lifetime, get to the 700 home run club, and we have a chance for Albert Pujols. He was a very likable guy to do it, and he has a chance to do it in a Cardinal uniform, the same uniform he should have been wearing his entire career. So, no, I'm with you. I agree 100%. Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest, talking Major League Baseball. Steve, it is always great to get you on the show. It's always great to talk some baseball, and I know we're going to have plenty of more opportunities down the stretch because, well, it's definitely go time.
All right, so last question. 17 games left to go. The Dodgers have 101 wins. What's the number at the end of the year?
111.
Ooh, I'd like that. I'd be okay with that.
I think they go 111. I think the Dodgers going 11-6 down the stretch is very logical. It just seems like the right number.
Okay. All right. 111 is a good number, and then you just need 11 more after that, and it's all over.
Yeah, that's it. The 11 that really count after that, right?
The 11 that matter, yeah. Jordan, I appreciate it very much. It was a good talk. Always good chatting with you.
Yeah. We'll do it again real soon, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to break for just a moment. More coming up when we return. It's Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Sutherland Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.